The Little River Band, gotta love a bit of LRB. You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside. And this is the Community Block, and our first guest today is Tim Vine from Kiwanis Marabin. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Molly. And that sounds like a great theme to do a little bit of reminiscing.
Well, because, yes, because what are we talking about today?
Well, next month we celebrate 50 years of service in the Marabin and Bayside community, so I thought we might just have a little trip down memory lane today and talk about some of our achievements over the last 50 years.
Super. Now, is there any signature project that you feel stands out above all the others?
Well, it's interesting. While we were still a club in formation, before we were even chartered, the Kiwanis Club of Marabin had a fairly close association with the Salvation Army, and that lent to a lot of the early projects. We did collections, and we did Salvation Army Red Shield. I think the one project that immediately comes to mind is one that is very significant for this area, and that was the fact that we got behind the project to build a hospital in Marabin.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, the main instigator of that was one of our club members who became the president in 1975, and that was the local Marabin MLA, Lou Reese.
Right.
Lou was very, very much involved in that. And we put all our heads together and decided that that's what we were going to do till the hospital opened, and we started running a carnival on the hospital site. Started around about 74, 75. I'm not particularly sure when the original date was, but this was quite some carnival. What we actually did is we did a deal with Tom Whittingslow Amusements, and we did the deal that they finished up at the Royal Melbourne Show last week in September, basically, and we organised to hire a huge selection of their rides, bring them out to the Marabin Hospital site, set them up, and put up a big carnival before Whittingslow actually headed off. I think they were going to Wagga from there. And we set up a deal that we did that every year. So we got a special deal because we provided all the manpower to run the entertainments, and we did that on the hospital site. And that went right through till about 1989, because the hospital actually officially opened in 76. So we continued for quite a long time, and we managed to raise thousands of dollars through that. And we purchased operating theatre tables and operating theatre lights, supplied quite a lot of money for setting up the hospital in the first place. And of course, it came to fruition. It was built and opened, and in fact, even today, that now Monash University Marabin site still has a library there called the Lou Reese Memorial Library.
Oh, how beautiful.
Well, unfortunately, I shouldn't laugh. Lou Reese was a member of the board of management of the hospital, and unfortunately, Lou's last day on earth was actually attending a board meeting when he had a massive heart attack.
Oh, dear.
During the board meeting. With all those doctors there, they couldn't revive him, and so they remember him today by a memorial library. Was the local MLA, so we've carried on that tradition, and so that I think was by far and away the most important signature project of the club in the early days, up until about 1989.
Yeah, but there must have been other major achievements from Marabin Kiwanis in the past 50 years, because you're turning, well, not you personally, but Kiwanis is turning 50 this year, aren't they?
Wish it was me, yeah. Actually, it's interesting. I was just tallying up. City of Glen Eyre just had, they celebrated Volunteers Week by recognising some of the people in the community who have done community service over the last few years, and the highest they had was 40 years. Now, I've been a member of Marabin Kiwanis for 35, and before that I was in Bempi Apex for 16, So that makes a total of 51 years that I've been doing community service in this area. So I thought, well, hey, that's going back a bit. Anyway, to answer your question, Molly, yeah, look, there's a lot of projects. And probably the best way to signify that is at each of our meetings, our dinner meetings, that is, we have a, as well as our official banner, we have a pull-up banner that recognises the club. And on that banner, there are the logo of the Moorabbin Kiwanis Club. Mm-hmm. And then there's four photographs. And on the banner it says, ask a Kiwanian what we were doing at, and then the photos are Eleonora in 1985, Thomas Street in 1989, Warrawee in 1992.
Can I guess the last one?
Go on, you guess the last one.
The RDA Gymkhana in 2012.
You've seen our banner.
Can't get much past me, Tim.
No, that's exactly right, yeah. That's right. So they're not the only ones, but they're... look, I have to confess, they're four of the main ones that I was involved in personally, so they're my favourites, and I designed the banner. So.
Uh-huh. So what can you tell us about these projects?
Well, let's start with Eleonora in 1985. Eleonora in those days was the Society for the Blind down in Mare Street in Brighton.
Yes.
We had a visitor from one of our New Zealand clubs that was talking about a scented garden that they had done over there. To one of the homes, and we put our heads together after that guest speaker came along and said, look, we could do something down at Eleonora, because we'd had an association with Eleonora, we'd run a few fetes down there, and we decided, yeah, we'll build a scented garden for the blind people. We ended up calling it a raised garden, because in actual fact the garden was built and the garden beds were raised up so that the blind people walking around didn't have to bend down to smell the flowers. They could walk through and smell them as they walked through, and that was a magnificent exercise. And then afterwards we continued our association with Eleonora, and I can't remember her name. She was not the matron, but she was the boss lady down there.
The head honcho.
And we were discussing other things that we could do, and we came up with this idea. I'm not sure whose idea it was, but we decided to build a walk-through aviary. And that's exactly what we did. And if you look at that photo on our banner, it's a group of 12 Kiwanians with all their tools, and they were down at Eleonora constructing a walk-through aviary. The good thing about both those projects is that it got all our members involved in working down there, working shoulder to shoulder, and of course, associating with the blind people. And it was a very, very rewarding project. So to this day, we still remember that. I don't think the aviary's there anymore, because it's not a blind society anymore. It's a retirement village, something like that, one of the commercial ones.
Okay.
Anyway, that's on our banner, and that's... look, a project that we're all pretty proud of, that we achieved that, and
super.
So there you go.
And let's go back to 1989. What happened in Thomas Street in 1989?
Now this is one of my favourite projects, because that to me is probably the most memorable project that I've been involved in. It goes back to a letter we received in February 1989. From the Kiwanis Club of East Aurora. Now, East Aurora is in upstate New York. The president of the club wrote to us and said, look, I've been approached by one Bridie Murphy, an Australian resident, lives in Sandringham, and she was impressed by a project that we ran, which was to build a children's interactive playground.
Yeah.
So, cut a long story short, we were approached by Bridie Murphy when she came back. She was a young mum who lived in Sandy with a husband and two young children. She wanted to know if we could maybe do the same thing that she saw in East Aurora, because she said, I woke up this weekend and she said it was a Saturday morning and went out, and she said the whole town was abuzz. I mean, East Aurora's not very big.
Mm.
And she said there were people running everywhere, and there were trucks in the street, and there were parents dragging along children, so she went out to find out what was going on, and they said, oh, we are building a playground.
Ah.
What do you mean, building a playground? She said, we're building it. And it turned out to be a community playground. So she got the idea. She saw it, because they built it over a weekend, and she said, boy, I'd love to do that in Sandringham. So that's exactly what she did. And so she approached us, and we said, yeah, we're into that. We'll help you with that. So Moorabbin Kiwanis didn't build it. The community of Sandringham and that whole Bayside area built that playground in Thomas Street, Hampton.
Fabulous.
Now, the way it worked is that they formed a community committee with our help and guidance, and got together a fundraising group, a group to promote it, to do publicity, to approach all the schools for help with them. And this project went on. It was finally built in September in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
So that committee raised all the money. You know, like they went to schools, and every school in the area had miles of coins. You know, they'd put all their coins side by side and make as long a line of coins as they could, and they'd buy bricks. We had a fundraising, big fundraising dinner, which was situated in a big marquee under the Westgate Bridge. All sorts of activities. And then when the playground was to be actually built, everyone in the community that could pick up a hammer or a saw or a chisel or something like that came down to work on it. We started Friday afternoon, went through Saturday, Sunday evening it was complete.
Isn't it amazing what you can do in such a short space of time? Many hands make light work.
Well, the beautiful thing about it, well, the first thing, it's an architect-designed playground, and Bridie actually approached the architect who designed the one in New York, a chap by the name of Robert Leathers. He had an architectural company, but he used to go around and do these playgrounds.
Hmm.
And she approached him to see if he'd come to Hampton in Australia to design one for us here. He was so impressed by Bridie, he said, look, I'll do it, but he said, I've got to tell you, and I assure you, this will be the one and only I will do. So he sent out an associate who came out and talked to school kids to find out, what would you like in a playground? And all the school kids said, oh, you know, we'd like this, we'd like a drawbridge and a dragon, and we'd like a castle, and they went through the whole thing, all the things, and Rosemary set out all these ideas, and then Robert Leathers actually designed this playground, sent it out to us, and then he came out for the week that it was constructed, and up it went. And I've got some magnificent photographs of the groundbreaking there, because it was funny. One of his instructions said, I need two berm augers to drill the holes, because what they do is they put these telegraph poles down in the ground, and then they construct the playground around these telegraph poles, the decking and the walkways, the suspended walkways, all that sort of stuff. Now, no one here had ever heard of the berm auger. We didn't know what it was. So anyway, we actually managed to get hold of one, and the other one was not a berm auger. It was just a post hole digger on the end of a truck.
Yes.
And that was the other one. And we could see why he wanted the berm auger, because it could do three holes in the same time it took the truck to do one. So that's why he wanted that.
Right.
But we managed and we got it. But what a learning exercise that was. But I just can't repeat how impressed I was by the whole project, the way everyone in the community worked. They had Burke's Backyard come down and do a show down there with all the kids.
Good old Don.
Yeah, well, good. Let's set it out in the bed, I guess. But back
then
he was fine. He had all the kids soaping the nails, you know, putting soap on the nails, putting them in buckets and handing them out to the parents who were hammering them into the digging. And Robert Leathers and his son were there supervising the whole thing going around. Mitre 10 provided all the tools, you know, like the saws and the drills and all the tools that we needed for that, and sold them off afterwards to supplement some of our money.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
You're listening to the Community Block, and I'm speaking with Tim Vine, who is from Moorabbin Kiwanis. And Moorabbin Kiwanis is turning 50 this year, so we're taking a trip along memory lane. Some of the main projects that you've done over the 50 years. Now we're up to Warrawee in 1992. Tell us a bit about that, please, Tim.
Warrawee was actually the idea of the Moorabbin City Council, and I think the main instigator of that was Councillor Neil Hamilton, who was the mayor at the time. He proposed this idea of the council building and owning a retirement village, because there were no publicly owned retirement villages in the area at that time.
And he put that idea of what he wanted to do to Moorabbin Kiwanis meeting. It was actually our changeover dinner where he was the guest speaker. So we decided, yep, we'll go with that, and we ran with that. And so yours truly got onto it and organised a raffle to raise funds for that. And in actual fact, our raffle, which was we were raffling a trip to Hong Kong, a holiday via Cathay Pacific. And the second prize, would you believe, was a VCR video camera. The third prize was a VCR video player. Yeah.
Well, it was 1992. Luxury items in those days. Yes,
I can assure you, yes, they were. So that was extremely successful, and so that was the first major fundraiser that was put together. And we got permission from the raffles board to sell raffle tickets all around the city, and we did that, went out every weekend and set up a stall, and when the council inspectors came around, we showed them our permit, and a bit different these days, but that's the way we did it back then. Mm-hmm. And so we raised quite a lot of money for Warrawee, and then Warrawee, we put under our arm for a while, even though Kiwanis is children.
Mm.
We kept up the tradition with Warrawee, and so for years we did Mother's Day presentations down there. We'd go and see the mums on Mother's Day who didn't have any children come and see them and give them a flower and a white handkerchief, and then on Father's Day we'd go and see the dads that had no one to come and see them and gave them a nice pair of woolly socks.
I knew you were going to say socks.
Yeah, well, what do you give a man who's got no kids and needs very little else, because it's lovely down at Warrawee.
Yes, yes. Now let's wind the clock forward to 2012, and that's when you had the RDA Gymkhana. Now, RDA is Riding for the Disabled, is that right?
Riding for the Disabled. Another guest speaker came along, and in fact, RDA was setting up in Moorabbin. They'd got permission to hire a site down the end of Fairchild Avenue in Moorabbin to set up a riding school, and again, we love the idea, so we spent lots and lots of weekends down there clearing blackberries off the site, and you've got no idea.
Planting, I hope, trees. You were eating some of them.
most of them were dead at that time of year when we were down there threshing them, but we had a fairly strong association, still do. In fact, we still buy feed for them for their horses, and during the drought we had an extra lot we had to buy for them to feed their horses, and so every year when they had their annual it's not called a gymkhana anymore, it was called a gymkhana in the old days, but the kids come along and all the parents come, and we put on a sausage sizzle for all the volunteers and the parents, and all the proceeds went to RDA, and we've been doing that for years.
Fantastic.
So.
So what an enormous amount of, and that's just a few highlights from the wonderful work that Kiwanis has been doing for 50 years.
That's right. That's some of the highlights, yeah.
Now, I'll give you one more minute. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about Kiwanis this month? Because, of course, you'll be back next month.
Yes, all right. Look, this month is Superboss Day, which I've promoted last year. It's the day where Heart Kids supporters dress up as a superhero and ask for donations from all their friends and workmates and all of that. Well, of course, it's a bit different this year because it's being run online.
Mm.
But you can still do that. You can set up a challenge and get your friends to support you. And I just plug the website. It's www.superbossday.org.au. Go and have a look. You can register. It costs $20 to register, so there's a donation straight away. And then you can accept one of the challenges that's on the website to something that you want to do. And there's a whole range of Flash challenges and Wonder Woman challenges and all the rest of it. All quite easy or quite hard, depending on the level you choose. And you can get donations. So please support Heart Kids this year.
Thank you very much for your time, Tim. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Molly.